Here with Scott Keeler, the Furman University football beat writer for the Greenville News down in Greenville, South Carolina, a beautiful place that is bursting with warmth at about 60-some degrees, I'm sure, at this point of the year, while we in Fargo, North Dakota suffer through another below-zero day. But again, we'll live with it. Scott, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I know with NDSU fans, one of the things that they enjoy with these FCS playoffs is playing teams that they're not familiar with, and Furman University certainly fits that bill, being from the Southern Conference. Just first of all, tell us a little bit about Greenville, South Carolina, and the community that Furman University is a part of.
It's a really beautiful place. They've renovated downtown over the last 20 years. It's really become quite a beautiful site. The campus has always been a gorgeous, one of the most gorgeous campuses around, and really prestigious academic reputation as well. So they don't draw as well as, say, North Dakota State would, and I know not many teams do, but with Clemson being here and South Carolina being here and both of them being so good in football on the FBS level, Furman kind of struggles to draw as much, especially since they haven't been a playoff contender until this year now for about eight seasons. So you don't have quite the following that Bison do.
Furman University comes in with an 8-5 record, 6-2 in the Southern Conference. NDSU fans very familiar with the Southern Conference, Appalachian State and Georgia Southern, along with Wofford out of that conference as well. What did Furman University, when did they turn the page? There was a streak there. They won 5 in a row now to get to the position they're at. What did they do that you saw to get them to this point?
There was a couple of things. Their starting quarterback, Reese Hannon, had missed three games in the earlier part of the season. They lost all three of those games, not necessarily the fault of the backup quarterbacks. It just they were kind of missing their leader. He came back for the Appalachian State game when they were 2-4 and 1-2 in the Southern Conference. They won that game 27-10. And during that game, I think a key point of the season that kind of set the tone for the rest of the way, Appalachian State was driving to take the lead right before half. And Furman defensive end, Gary Wilkins, had a 90-yard interception return for a touchdown, kept Furman in the lead. And that interception return for a touchdown kind of has just set the tone for the rest of the way. They've had five non-offensive touchdown returns, including four pick sixes. The rest of the way, they've won 6 out of 7. The only loss was to LSU. And they had to win all five in the Southern Conference and get some help to share the Southern Conference title. And they ended up winning the tiebreaker to get in the playoffs. I don't think they would have made the playoff field without gaining the automatic qualifier from the Southern Conference.
Talk about those big plays, specifically the turnovers. Looking at what Furman University does, they don't surprise you offensively or defensively, but when you look at the turnovers and turnover margin, one of the best in the nation. What have you seen covering this team all year that they do to create turnovers?
It's really an interesting thing and kind of goes hand-in-hand with the turnaround they've had this season. They were 3-8 a year ago. They forced 13 turnovers last year. That was the fewest in the Southern Conference. So it was something they keyed on all offseason. It really seems to have paid off. They forced 29 this year, and during that streak of winning 6 out of 7, they forced 20. And the big thing is they've scored off 14 of those. They scored 10 touchdowns and 4 field goals. And on the 6 where they didn't score, 2 of those, they just ran off the clock to end the game. So they've been very opportunistic and taking advantage of those opportunities because their offense, nothing really jumps out at you. They're last place in the Southern Conference in total offense by about 40 yards. But they're second in red zone offense and lead the Southern Conference in red zone defense and turnover margin. And that's really been a key part of their turnaround.
I want you to give me two names offensively that Furman has that we're going to see for NDSU fans to look for on Saturday.
I'll start with Hank McCloud. He's rushed for 1,085 yards this year. He is not a flashy type of back. He might be considered a little undersized if you're looking at him as like an FBS prospect. But he averages about 85 yards a game. He's just a steady type of runner. A receiver to look for would be Andre Suttles. He's come on He is a redshirt freshman. He has 650 yards receiving. He's had some long touchdown catches. He really stretches the field. They've had a number of guys injured this year, and they lost their best receiver in the last week of September, I believe. And so they've had various people step up throughout the season. Andre Settles has turned into their top receiver.
I want to ask you about two guys, one that I think NDSU fits. Pardon me, we'll see a lot of on Saturday, and one that may kind of go under the radar. The first I want to ask you about is Jarius Holman. He had a punt return for a touchdown against South Carolina State. Guy leads the team in interceptions. He's a pretty electric guy. Is he kind of the game changer for this team?
He is, and it's really interesting. They started the year as their defense being a 4-3 on paper in the depth chart. He was nowhere to be found in the 2-deep depth chart because they basically play with five defensive backs all year. He's their nickel back, but he starts every game. And he's really a hybrid. He plays all over the place. He's second on the team in tackles for loss out of that defensive backfield. He has 11.5 tackles for loss. He has 105 tackles. He has 3 interceptions, 7 deflections. He's really been a strong force. And this is really the first, he's a sophomore, and this is the first experience he's had really on the field was this season. And he's been really kind of, he brings a lot of confidence to the table, which Furman kind of needed. There was a point there in the season where the defense was, frankly, not very playing very well as either. And his kind of confidence has kind of rubbed off on other guys, even though he's only a sophomore and this is his first year on the field. He's a real disruptive force.
The other guy I wanted to ask you about that might be kind of under the radar, the Dakota Dozier, the offensive tackle for Furman University. I've heard talks that he may be able to get to the next level, the NFL. Is that kind of just because he stands out so much in the Southern Conference, or does he really have the skills to become an NFL prospect?
I'm no NFL draft expert, but just going by what I've read and what I've heard from other folks, he is. After the LSU game this year, Mel Kiper made a point on his blog that he was really impressed with his performance against LSU. He projects him to play guard in the NFL, and he, at that point, had projected him to be around a fourth-round pick. So he is a really he's a really solid kid and a really tremendous player. He was hurt a little bit last week. He and the guard actually got hurt on the same play, and he had to shift over to guard when he came back into the game, and he had never played guard before, but they ran for over 200 yards last week against statistically a pretty good South Carolina State run defense. So he's really a tremendous player.
The guy has 2,681 plays, and for offensive lineman, stat that's going to jump out at you, 44 games played, he started in 43 of them, extremely consistent, hardly ever injured. He'll be fun to watch. NDSU has a very good left tackle of their own, and Billy Turner. What have you seen or what have you heard about NDSU that the fans of Furman University have been talking about a little bit?
Well, the fans, they won't be able to get right off the bus and right into the Fargo Dome. They talked about the weather, as you might imagine, a good bit. And they also the noise level has been a hot topic of conversation. I think Furman fans have been told by the Georgia Southern and Wofford Brethren to bring earplugs. They will be needed, and everyone's aware of that. And also, that's not to mention the great team they're facing. Furman, I think, strives to play a little bit like North Dakota State. Furman like to run the ball, control the clock, and also can beat you through the air if needed, and just not to the statistical heights that North Dakota State's reached. But I think everyone's aware of Furman's got a proud tradition in the FCS and before that 1AA. And so a lot of their fans stay abreast of the national scene in FCS. And I think everyone's aware that North Dakota State's the best team in the country, and they're in for a real test this Saturday, Furman.
Final question I have for Scott Keeler. He's the beat writer who covers the Furman University football team for the Greenville News. Final question I have for you. NDSU fans are known to get a little riled up when everybody else pronounces their nickname wrong, as it's Bison. A lot of people say Bison, and it would seem it's pronounced that way, but up here in Fargo and in the area, it's Bison. How do you pronounce Furman University's nickname? I've heard so many different variations of it. What's the correct way to pronounce it?
It's Paladins.
Paladins. And where did that come from? What does that mean?
I'm not sure exactly where it came from. The technical definition has to do with some kind of knight in Charlemagne's court or something along those lines. I know they have a knight in a full suit of armor that rides out on a white horse to lead them on the field. That's their mascot. So they've had, going way back, they used to be the Hurricanes, I believe, and I can't recall off the top of my head the other name, but they've been Paladins for quite some time now. And the easiest definition is a knight.
Well, the Paladins and the Bison kick off about 2:30 Central here in Fargo. Scott, thank you so much for your time and giving us a little insight onto the Furman University football team.
Sure thing.